Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told.
What's going on, everybody? Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express. And there are four teams that think they are the man indeed in the NFL.
Well, man, I thought you were going to start us out with Sean Wally. Two teams that are looking to be the man in the national championship of collegiate football, and that is Ohio State and Oregon. First and foremost, they're looking to be the man. And Ohio State is putting it on my Oregon Ducks. Something fierce in the first half. 21-7. Marcus Mariota and company have yet to get things really clicking. I guess the first drive, it looked like it was going to be status quo and the numbers were going to continue to climb. But then stagnation happened, and Ohio State has put an early thumping on the Ducks.
Well, I'm still waiting for the second team to show up. Right now, it looks like there's only one team that really believes it's the man in the national championship game.
Yeah, and unfortunately for Oregon, they're still trying to make things click here. And, you know, they've had some off-season issues that we've heard during the week to where they've lost a receiver due to some knucklehead stuff that goes on, and so Oregon has to reel from that, but they're still in the game, so they look like a team that can actually move the football and do what they want. It's just the defense hasn't yet arrived.
Maybe it was the wrong choice of uniforms for the Ducks. They have what, about 90 different combinations they could choose from?
And I love them all, man. But yeah, you're right. They picked the Casper, the friendly ghost uniforms, actually going with the all white, the white helmets. And, you know, they still look pretty snazzy. But I don't know if they've actually caught up to the way they look. They kind of blend in with the white lines, I guess.
Now, you posted something on Facebook that looked like you had almost what could amount to a national championship ring from the Oregon Ducks, and people were clamoring like, what in the world, where'd that come from, how'd you get that, and tell that story.
Well, of course, as you all know, my son played for the Oregon Ducks and, you know, went to many bowls with the Oregon Ducks, and he was kind enough to leave his memorabilia with us, and so I thought that I would don one of the rings there and, you know, show my support, you know, for Oregon, of course, and my son. And of course, he's graduated, but still, you know, the time and the energy that he's put into that program and what Coach Bellotti and Phil Knight gave to my son, that's something that you can't take away. And so, yeah, I put on the Oregon Ducks hat, which I still have on, and my Oregon shirt as I'm doing the show right now. And, you know, I just want to show my support.
And Sean, your son Daniel was actually at the Rose Bowl. That had to be extremely exciting.
Yeah, you know, he's having fun down there with his fiance at the Rose Bowl. And, of course, Oregon didn't disappoint then. And, you know, these guys, you know, they're a tough football team. You know, the Oregon Ducks are, you know, they get the moniker. And even from me, to be honest with you, Sean Wally, they get that moniker of, you know, being what's called a, you know, gimmick football. And so, you know, I'll kind of partake in that from time to time. And, you know, I always say that, you know, when you go up against, you know, these pro style, pro set teams, you know, where they have the, you know, the huge big offensive lines and, you know, everything is professional ready, you know, that Oregon has a tough time with it. I didn't think that they would have a tough time with Ohio State. But it's looking that part early, even though Oregon is driving right now, and I believe they will go in here to score.
Well, they definitely need to punch this in right before halftime, that would cut the lead to just one score at 21-14. If the Ducks can get in here, they are at the 9-yard line, 3rd and 4, a big third down upcoming.
Yeah, and then, you know, and of course they, you know, their offense is predicated on timing and getting a lot of plays off, and they're doing just that. As Mariota throws an incomplete, and it's going to be interesting to see what Coach Helfrich does on this fourth down. It looks like he's going to take the field goal.
Yeah, go for the sure points, better than none, and they're going to have to definitely make adjustments at half and see if they can come out and find a different plan, a different scheme that'll work better than what happened here in the first half.
Yeah, I believe they will. I believe they'll go in and make the proper adjustments. That's why these two teams are here, and you know, we should see a better second half coming out from both teams, actually. Now, Sean, you are still back east, but making your way towards the west in what I would call the Harlem Globetrotters' manifest destiny. Now you're in Kansas City, the home of barbecue. Some of the finest barbecue in the country. And, you know, how are things going over there?
Well, today was our first travel by plane of the tour, not counting the leaving home flight. And we went from, well, we got on the buses early this morning and went to Charleston to fly out of Charleston, South Carolina, flew to Midway in Chicago, and it was just ridiculous to see from, you know, 30,000 feet and lower, everything snow-covered. Everything snow-covered there in Illinois. And just quite the sight. And then to have, you know, leave Midway, fly into Kansas City, where it's bitterly cold, but like it's been the entire trip, cold but very clear and sunny. So it looks like it could be 70, 80 degrees outside, but oh no, the sun definitely is not very warm at all.
Now, you had the honors the past couple of days, I believe yesterday, as a matter of fact, to get a chance to see Globetrotters royalty. And tell our listeners on who you had a chance to meet and what type of a person he is and all that good stuff.
Well, I had the chance to meet the legendary Curly Neal of Harlem Globetrotter fame, and he is such a great guy. He makes his home, I believe, in Greensboro, North Carolina, which is why he made it out to our doubleheader in Columbia, South Carolina, at the University of South Carolina. And he was just a great guy, great mood, very happy, and just a great ambassador for the Globetrotters.
You know, and that excites me because that brings me back to my childhood. And, of course, you know, some of the things that you put on Facebook, and a lot of people responded with, you know, something that is a staple for Curly Neal, and that is being one of the characters on Scooby-Doo. And I remember when Harlem Globetrotters used to make cameos even in animation, and that must have been fun to get a chance to live out one of your childhood dreams and meeting Curly Neal.
Oh, absolutely. A huge Globetrotter fan, a huge Scooby-Doo fan I was growing up, and heck, still am. Great cartoon that's lasted for, 40 years plus. And to have, you know, got to give credit to cousin-in-law Adam Johnson for putting the picture of Curly Neal from Scooby-Doo on Facebook. And because I had mentioned it in my post that, you know, the man was on Scooby-Doo. He's a legend in many different ways. But a lot of time to talk about that later in the hour. We need to go out to the HolySmokeNuts.com phone lines and welcome in former basketball star at Rainier Beach High School and Washington State, Reggie Moore. Reggie, thanks for your time.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, Reggie, thanks for being on the show, man. And, of course, you know, so as Sean Wiley was just explaining, you know, playing at Washington State, and of course, you have a little stint in the NBDL, I believe, with the team in Reno. So how was that going for you?
Man, it was cool, man. I'm not with them anymore. I played 2 games with them, but it was a great experience just to understand the business side of things and just pro sports. It was cool, man. It was real cool.
Now, Reggie, you're you know, your career really took off at Washington State when you got to Washington State. And of course, you know, there's a young man in my neck of the woods here in Sacramento who went to Pleasant Grove High School. His name is Xavier Thames, who wound up transferring actually because of your excellent prowess at point guard. And so that must have been, you know, great to know that all your hard work and your efforts paid off from Rainier Beach and heading to that level at Washington State.
Yeah, it was great, man. Man, Xavier is one of my closest friends still to this day, so he's overseas balling right now. Our freshman year was real cool, and me and Xavier stayed close from then, so it was a great experience for sure.
Reggie, who are some of the guys in your life, whether it be coaches back at the AAU level or the high school level, that helped mentor you and guide you?
Let's see, Trey Simmons. He went to UW. Trey Simmons is like a big, huge role model in my life. My uncle, my grandfather, Coach Mike from Rainier Beach, Nate Robinson. So those are some figures that were in my life that I really paid attention to and tried to follow.
What sort of things did they teach you about the game of basketball and life as well?
Man, just to have fun with it and kind of do what you love, man. Trey always told me, like, no matter what anybody else say, you got to do what you feel. So that's the biggest thing, is just following your dreams, following your heart, so you could be successful, be the person you want to be.
Now, Reggie, one of the coaches that you had mentioned was Coach Mike Bethea. And kind of give us an idea on the influence that he had with you as far as molding you into one of the end of the player that you are.
Man, Coach Mike just keeps you focused, man. No matter what's going on around your life, like, he knows how to get to you and keep you focused, and he knows how to get the best out of you. And I think that's important in coaching.
Now, Reggie, one of the guests that we had on last week was the head coach of Garfield High School, and that is none other than Coach Ed Haskins. Now, I know that he had the chance to coach you probably a little bit just before graduating. What kind of coaching style did Coach Ed Haskins have?
Coach is he's kind of like the same as Coach Mike, man. They really get to know you as a person, so they know what pushes your buttons. They know what drives you. You know, they're more than coaches to you. They're like father figures to you, and they let you play your game, most importantly. You know, they teach you a lot of things, and they give you great exposure.
Reggie, what was it like going from the high school level to the Pac-10, Pac-12 level at Washington State?
For me, it was kind of different for me because I didn't really know what I was doing. Basketball had just kind of been like always in my life. So me going from high school to D1, it wasn't something that was a real eye-opener or anything. For me, it was just kind of like the next thing in my life. But it was a lot different because basketball becomes a business instead of just hooping around for fun. It's really about, you know, production and making things happen.
And what was it like going from the big city of Seattle to the small community of Pullman?
Man, it was real different because, I mean, there's nothing to do in Pullman. There ain't nothing to do in Pullman but get yourself in trouble, man. But, you know, in the city, in the town, in the city, you can do a bunch of things, you know, on your off time, there's really no boredom. So that's really the big difference.
Yeah, you know, being in that small town feel, I mean, it really gives you the chance to lock in, if you will, and, you know, and focus on school. But then yet at the same time, coming from the big city, you know, you feel a little homesick.
Yeah, a little bit, but not too much. You know, it's only about, 4 hours away drive. And, you know, I have a bunch of people who I grew up with go to Wazoo, too. So it's not too much homesick, but definitely a culture change.
Now, of course, you went through the rigors of making the transition. As you were mentioning, just the maturity not just in education, but in your basketball play. So wind up leaving Washington State and heading up to Bellingham and enrolling at Western Washington University. You know, what was that like as far as, you know, again, making that transition, trying to pursue your dream?
I didn't actually end up going to Western. I did enroll there.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I was going to go there, and then, like, as a super last minute, probably in, like, August or so, I decided I didn't want to go back to school and I wanted to try to go pro. But, man, Western was something that I really wanted to do. One of those schools that I kind of grew up by because I grew up in Lake Stevens, so I always wanted to go to Western, but I just kind of had made a split decision at the very last minute not to actually go.
Gotcha. And so, yeah, I was thinking that at some point you did enroll and play basketball there, so I apologize for that. Now, let's talk about the NBDL and kind of give our listeners an idea as far as what it takes because, you know, the NBDL, let's face it, doesn't get the notoriety that the NBA does. You're so close but yet so far away, it feels like. How do you maintain that focus and that drive moving forward?
Man, like you said, you're so close, but, you know, you're so far at the same time, and I think you just keep that glass full, half-full mentality of the so close part. You know, you have a big game, you have a big week, man, you one step away from the NBA. You never know when you could get that call up, and then you could take off from there. So that's one huge part of the NBDL, for sure.
Now, Reggie, we had a chance to meet in July at the Global Basketball Summer League in Las Vegas, and I have to admit, when I saw your name on the roster, I did a double take. I said, "No, this can't be the Reggie Moore that you know." I watched play Pac-10, Pac-12 basketball at Washington State, and you know was a great guard and made the All Pac-12 freshman team and doing great things. And then sure enough, when it came time for the pro review, there you were. And it was great to get to meet you. And you were, you know, willing to put in the work and do the things you have to do to get noticed and make it to the next level. And, you know, I believe that like anything to be great, it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. And it's not always easy to reach those goals.
Man, it's not, for sure. You kind of got to stay after it. Like you said, it's kind of got to be a thing that you really love to do. And hoops, something I love to do, something my grandpa taught me how to do, what I always watched growing up. So, I mean, it's like something I don't see myself stopping doing until I get to the top, you know?
Reggie Moore, kind enough to join us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And now, Reggie, have you had the chance to play in the Pro-Ams up in Seattle?
Yeah, I came up there and played. I just played one game this summer because I brought my bro Stan Johnson, goes to Arizona right now. Me and him came up there to Seattle to play a game. We just played in one game. I played in the Drew League this summer, the Pro-Am out here in Los Angeles. So, yeah, that's what I was doing, really.
Now, those have to be a lot of fun. And to be honest with you, you have to be selected to play in these leagues. And, you know, I'm understanding that because my son is playing ball now over at Chaminade University. And, you know, over the summer, he was playing in one of the leagues out here in the Bay. And so it takes a lot. But at the same time, it's fun because you have some NBA players that come home. You have some of the you know, the top-notch college players that are trying to stay in shape and everything. And it can be more exciting than some NBA games at times.
Man, it's definitely exciting, man. You get to see a lot of points being dropped, like you said, pro players versus amateur players, so that's always interesting, and it's just a show for the crowd, really. It's always fun to keep hooping during the summer like that.
Now, Reggie, what's next for you? You had mentioned you'd had a brief stint with one of the NBDL teams. What's on the slate for you in the upcoming? Do you have any teams that are inviting you to their facilities, or are you just going to, you know, keep yourself in shape and hope for a call here soon?
I haven't talked to any teams recently. I'm in the process of figuring out what agents I really want to mess with. I just kind of got to get myself out there as far as exposure and stuff. I keep myself in good shape. So that's what's next for me as far as the basketball world is just waiting for my next opportunity and making the most out of it.
Now, Reggie, what advice would you have for a young maybe high school athlete that is looking to go to the collegiate ranks and make it in the basketball world?
Just have fun and go as hard as you possibly can. Basketball is something that could really put you in a position to have a lot of fun with life. So you got to think about the goals that you have in the next 10 or even 20 or 30 years and plant those seeds right now. And then, you know, when it's time, you'll be perfect.
Reggie, outside of basketball, you're working on getting a brand off the ground, and it's Sky Blue Collective. Why don't you tell us about that?
Man, my Sky Blue Collective, I just got a bunch of, man, I just looked around and realized all the people who I'm really close with and connected with, you know, pro basketball players, NFL players, skateboarders, snowboarders, musicians, all that type of stuff. And I was like, man, I really kind of got a unique group of groups surrounding me, so I kind of want to make something out of it. So we're just in the process of building it and figuring out what actually we want to do with it. So we got a pretty cool following. So, I mean, it should be pretty interesting. I know I'm going to have a lot of fun with it.
Reggie Moore, best of luck with Sky Blue Collective and continuing your basketball career. You had a great one at Washington State as well as at Rainier Beach High School. Thank you so much for your time, and it was a pleasure meeting you in July.
Hey, man, no problem, man. Thanks for having me on here.
Hey, good luck to you, Reggie. We'll look to see you down the road.
All right, see you.
All right.
There goes Reggie Moore, now in California at the moment. Soaking in some sunshine, much warmer than the Pacific Northwest this time of year.
You know, Sean, I really love having guests on like Reggie, because it shows, and he gives the true element on what it takes to actually keep that vision and to keep that dream going. It's not easy. It's not easy to make sure that you're working out every day. And you know, sometimes you feel like, maybe things aren't going to work out for you. So, you know, I do really like the way that, you know, Reggie tells a story. I mean, it's real, it's genuine, and it's like, hey, man, things aren't, you know, guaranteed for you, but also having a plan B as well.
That's right, Sean. And that's exactly what I got out of Reggie, being able to meet him in July and speak to him and interview him. And that interview is up on YouTube, on Facebook, and I'll repost it since we just had Reggie on the show. And he was open and honest and said a lot of the similar things he said tonight. He's like, you know, I didn't make smart decisions when I was at Washington State. And, you know, I thought I knew how things would go, and things didn't exactly turn out the way he thought they would.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, I definitely see him doing some great things down the road. Well, coming back from the break, we're going to catch up a little bit on the NCAA. And we have guest number two coming up, Omar Turner from Crossover. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400. The safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.
Well, Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And let's go right back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in Omar Turner of Crossover Basketball. Omar, thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, Omar, there are some great things that you have been doing in the community that really, really caught my attention. One of the things is Crossover Basketball and some, and how you are capturing the inner city kids and giving them a chance to actually better themselves, not only on the court, but in the classrooms as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And so, yeah, so thank you for being on the show here. Kind of give our listeners what Crossover Basketball is about.
Well, Crossover is about youth. It's about youth making changes in attitude, behavior, and commitment. And we do this through what we call as our huddle groups. Our huddle groups are things that where we sit down with the youth doing a practice, a basketball practice, and we'll take like 15, 20 minutes, and we'll talk to them about things that would develop character, confidence, and responsibility. And then also we have an optional faith component. And now at this time, what we're doing is some of the kids that have expressed interest and having faith in God, we started taking them to church, and we do open gym afterwards. And so we've just been having a great time with these young people and seeing a lot of them just make commitments to do better in life and just have faith in God. And I'm really, really thankful to God that he's allowed me to be in their lives amongst a lot of other mentors. I mean, I got guys, a guy that I grew up with named Pat Robertson that comes out and he also talks with the youth. We got Lamar, who's a youth pastor at the church, who used to be in our program when he was in middle school. And now I think he's about 27, and he's the youth pastor at our church.
Now, Omar, you're mentioning your strong spiritual background is the reason that and the foundation for doing what you do. And if I'm correct, you attend Bayside of South Sacramento. Am I correct?
You're correct. We attend that church, Bayside of South Sacramento. Yes, I do.
And so you've had a strong teaching and a strong background as well from the late pastor Sherwood Carthen. Of course, he was the team chaplain for the Sacramento Kings, and I'm sure that you've gotten a strong teaching from him.
I sure did. He was one of those guys that was a mentor of mine. Actually, I sat in several of the chapels, even back when they had that strong Kings team that had Chris Webber on there. I got a chance to meet him at one of the chapel meetings. So Bishop Carthen was a big influence in my life and one of my mentors.
Now, Omar, talk about a little bit about your background and your upbringing and things that you have dealt with on and off the basketball court that have kind of helped mold you to this direction.
Well, as a young person growing up, I was in Del Paso Heights, and then I grew up in the South area. Gave into some peer pressure and did some drugs and drinking and all that. I did play sports all my life and did quite well up until I think it was like my sophomore year in college. And because of the abuse of using substances, I think that it hindered my ability to play the game. And so, I came to a point, it was my girlfriend at the time, and then became my wife. She shared with me and talked to me about getting to know the Lord, and that's what happened. And from there, it just literally changed my life. I had a new outcome on what it meant to be somebody in the community, to be somebody that would reach out and help other people. All of that took place as I began to put my faith in God. And then just had this vision of having, adult men that would come into the lives of kids and that would mentor them. And I you know, one of the guys that it's funny, one of the guys that first started helping me, his name is Rick Ricardo. And he's a guy that he never played basketball, organized basketball. But he was one of those guys that said, hey, I want to help. I want to help youth in the community, you know, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And so, you know, he was one of our coaches at the very beginning. And then now he's the commissioner, one of the commissioners of our league. And so, you know, just, you know, I know that a God hand is on what we're doing in Crossover. He's been leading us all the way. We actually started this out by just praying. And, you know, and after that, you know, I really believe that God just surrounded me by some gifted and talented men and women that were saying, hey, we want to make a difference in our community.
Now, Omar, what does it mean to you when you have a youth come in and, you know, they've got issues at home, they've got hardships, and, you know, they're struggling to go in the right direction, and then you notice the light bulb come on and they finally get it. They understand the teaching, they understand the mentoring, and that it's about more than just what goes on the court.
Wow. I mean, it's so awesome to see that young man as part of our program. And it's funny that you mentioned that. I was joking with the kids one day, and I was saying, hey, you know, I know that a lot of times that I do the talk, and I think that, you know, one of you guys should end up doing it. And a young man stood up. His name was Xavier, and he said, Coach, I do want to do that. I want to be able to talk to the youth like you do. And I want to, the next time that we sit down and we have, you know, the talk, he said, I want to do it. I'm like, okay. You know, first I thought he was joking and playing, but the young man, I guess, prepared himself and got ready. And the next time we met and had our open gym, he said, hey, I'm ready, Coach. He stood up, he shared and talked to the kids. And it was even funny at the end, because sometimes I pick up some of the youth in this white van and I take them to church. And he said, yeah, I'm going to be just like Coach Omar. I'm go out and I'm gonna get a white van. And I'm gonna pick up young people and take them to church. And so it was just hilarious that he said that, but it made me know that he really understood what was going on. That it was much more than just about basketball. It was about changing lives. It was about seeing youth. You know what we say? We see youth make a crossover in life. That's what we really want to see. You know, we enjoy the game of basketball, but more than that, we enjoy seeing youth make a difference in the lives of other youth and also in their own lives.
For those of you just tuning in to On the Double with the Double S Express, we have Omar Turner of Crossover Basketball and mentoring. And, you know, Coach, one of the things that a lot of mentors do is they're really good at actually coaching outside of the home and not yeah. really taking care of home. And so getting a chance to know what you're about and who you're about, give us an idea on how great it is to have. Uh-oh, we've got somebody that's excited in the background there.
Yeah, that's my a little dog. He's let me know he needs to go outside.
Hey, that's all right. That's all right. But give our listeners a thought and a glimpse on what it's like to actually take care of home. And what I mean by that, Marcus Turner, your son, following in your footsteps and understanding, you know, how to be well grounded, playing basketball at Davis, and then helping dad out in the program.
And actually, I want to clarify, my son, he went to Davis, but he okay. went on academically. Okay. My son played in high school. He actually made all league. But when he got to Davis, I thought he might even try to walk on. But his thing was that he felt like he just wanted to do the academics. And so he ended up going to Davis, and he
graduated.
Nothing
wrong with that.
Yeah, and so, you know, he really got it, what I was, what we were teaching the kids. And I think it was secondhand because he was a part of our program, so it wasn't directed at him, but I think he always was there, was hearing what was being said, and he really picked up on it, hey, that it's more than basketball. I mean, again, love the game. It's a great game, but it's more to life than just basketball. And he really understood that. He's a young man that, I mean, I tell him all the time, he's my favorite son. And actually, he's my only son. So, but I would open his door at night, and I would see him reading his Bible. And that just did something for me as a dad, knowing that I didn't have to tell him that that was something that he desired on his own. And then, you know, just to talk about his education, he carried, I think it was a 389 all the way through middle school and high school. And the funny thing is, when he was in elementary, he wasn't like the smartest kid. At that time, I think he was getting C's and B's in elementary, and then it just something clicked in him. And I even think it was one of his peers that challenged him and made him feel like he couldn't get the same type of grades as him. And he took on that challenge. And I mean, that semester he came home and he said, Dad, you know what? I'm going to get a 4.0. And I said, okay, son, you know, that sounds good. And that semester he did. He ended up with a 4.0 and he had a 389 every semester after that.
Well, that's fabulous that he understands the greatness of education. And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, our student athletes should strive for to begin with, is to make sure that they're strong stewards in the classroom. And sounds like, you know, Marcus definitely had that down pat and is helping you out, you know, with the program.
Yeah, he definitely is. He like I said, he just graduated from UC Davis and he felt like, hey, Dad, I want to come back and I want to give back. You know, now, it was other mentors even besides myself. Like I said, I have a lot of great people that was in his life, a guy named Will White, a guy named Roy Edwards, you know, a guy named Ray Rucker. All of these guys are still part of our program. They even coach in several of the schools out here. And they are guys that, like me, have faith in God and love the game of basketball and want to see young people succeed. And so, you know, these guys, I mean, I mentioned Rick McCardo, Pat. I mean, I just got so many volunteers, a guy named Donald. I mean, there's just a ton of guys that really, really, they pour into this ministry. We call it our ministry and really love on kids.
Now, Coach, you also have some other people, some former guests here on the double as far as Gus Armstead. You guys reach out together, and Monty Buckley, who's also a guest on the double. So you guys kind of coincide a little bit because of a lot of the things that you do in the Sacramento community to make things better for these youth.
Exactly. Gus has come out and helped me several times. He's trained some of our kids. Monty, the same thing. I mean, even Ruthie Bolton, Holyfield, she's been out to help us. LaSalle Thompson, Bill Nelson, who, you know, he coached over there at Capital Christian Center. He's been a part of it. So it's been a lot of people, you know. I even got one of my relatives, his name is Walter. He comes out. He loves the educational component, where he just loves to talk to kids about math and science and engineering and computers and all that kind of stuff. And he's one of those type of guys. So, yeah. We've had a lot of people from the community come out and help us.
Omar, what does it mean to you when one of your players in your program says that your program is life-changing?
Wow. Wow, that meant a lot. I mean, and I do think that that young man, I remember him saying that, and I believe it was his, how do I want to say it? Him, and if I could say it this way, him coming into this relationship with God. I mean, maybe we were the vehicle for it. You know, God used us, but in him just coming into a relationship with God was life changing. I believe that's what took place. I mean, I've had kids, they put it on Facebook where, you know, they went to camp with me. Like, I work for an organization called Youth for Christ, and every summer we take kids to camp. We took about 12 kids last year. You know, either they were from the neighborhood, they were either from one of our AAU teams, or they played in our league, or even been in our after-school program. But we took about 12 of them, and 8 of them, you know, for the first time, made a commitment to Christ, and each one of them had that kind of response to it. Coach, this has been life-changing. I mean, they have a great time. They have a lot of fun, play basketball, ropes course, all kind of stuff. But in the end, what really truly happens is that they really get a chance to take a look at themselves and say, hey, you know what? I got to make choices every single day. And there's only one person that could help us to make a great choice, and that is Jesus Christ. That's, you know, the crux of our program and the basis of it. It's great to hear that. Kids are changing. It's just phenomenal.
Omar, as we all know, unfortunately in life, things not very much in life is free. You know, it's not free for you guys to rent gyms. It's not free for you guys to get equipment. And your rec leagues cost roughly $95 per athlete. And then you also have elite level squads that can range up to $1,000 per player. You've got travel expenses, hotel expenses, and whatnot. Now, how important are donations from the community to help these kids have a chance at crossover basketball?
It's so important. We desperately need the community and people at large to just step up and help us, because, you know, I'm saying this jokingly, but I see so many things out there, you know, that we should. We help animals, we donate to this, you know, these different things. But, man, if we could all step up and to help one youth to make a crossover in life, what a difference that would make. And the finances that we need for this to take place is when you look at a life being changed like that, it's not a lot. $95 for a kid, you could donate $95 and a kid could literally have a life change. You could donate $1,000 and see this young man that goes from, you know, 365 days of being around guys and men that are going to mentor him. They're going to get a chance to travel, play on an elite team. It's not a lot. It's not a lot to ask. So I know there's some people out there that probably listening to us that could step up and do that. And if you would, I know we would greatly appreciate it. We do need your help. We desperately need your help.
Now, Coach Omar, if you would be so kind as to give the information on how people can actually donate and, sponsor a child through the crossover basketball.
Yeah. So a couple things I could give you. One is we have an office, the Youth for Christ office, and the phone number is 916-857-0660. Or if you just want to write a check, or you could send it to P.O. Box 277728, Sacramento, California, 95827. And you could put it, write the checks out to Crossover Basketball. Also, we have you can get to our Facebook account through crossoverbasketball.org. You go to that site and it'll send you right to our Facebook account, and you can get information off of that. But definitely. Could I say that again, the P.O. Box number?
Yeah, you sure can. Go ahead.
Okay, it's P.O. Box 277728, Sacramento, California, 95827.
Gotcha. And so, yeah, so definitely for those who want to donate to Crossover Basketball, you have the information to do so. And Coach, we just thank you for being on the show here and getting a chance to, you know, to talk about the foundation some of the things that you're doing in the community. I know that in the Sacramento area, we definitely appreciate it because we need more people. We need more people that are willing to stand in the gap. We need more people that are willing to take their eyes off of themselves and focus on others. And you're definitely doing that. And, you know, we love you for doing it.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you guys having me on your show. I really do. Thank you so much.
All right. And thanks again, Coach. We really appreciate you.
Okay. Take care and God bless.
All right. Take care.
Omar Turner, thank you for your time. For more information on Crossover Basketball and the great work they are doing, visit crossoverbasketball.org or give them a call, 916-857-0660.
And as Coach was also saying, the P.O. Box, if you wanted to send as well, P.O. Box 277728, Sacramento, California, 95827. And those are, or you can go onto Facebook and you can friend Crossover Basketball for more information and for any of the camps that are going on. They go on a weekly basis. And again, Coach Omar, thanks again for your time. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to catch up on some of that NCAA football that we were talking about, the national championship. We'll also talk a little bit about what went on in the NFL this past week and what's coming up on this upcoming weekend. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret. A new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe, with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd, and the NCAA football championship going on right now, and the Ducks are not dead.
Man, as I'm sitting here holding up the O, Brian Marshall, 76-yard touchdown from Marcus Mariota, putting the Ducks back in business, 21 and up the soon to be 17 with an extra point. And you're right, Sean Wally, not dead.
Whoa, wait a minute.
But we might have a situation. Man, did this not happen with the Oregon Ducks about a month ago? But it was I can't remember the opposing team. I believe it was Arizona that did that. My goodness, what's with these guys crossing the goal line? What we're talking about, listeners, is Brian Marshall crossing the goal line, but almost pre-celebratory. If he doesn't have control of the football crossing the goal line, that's considered they gave him a touch. Man, my goodness, Sean, why would a young man do something like that at such a grand stage, such as the national championship?
Well, it's happened a lot in college football lately, and it makes no sense. There's no reason to release the ball anywhere near the goal line. You can even take it back to the sidelines and then drop it, for gosh sakes.
Yeah, yeah.
Huge sense that would be if they had overturned that and given the ball to Ohio State on a touchback.
Oh, man, could you imagine the media and the fan pundits, as far as if Oregon is not to win this football game, that would be the deciding factor? Out of all the things that have been going on the past couple of weeks as far as officiating calls, oh my goodness, that would have been devastating if that touchdown was called back.
Well, it's 21-17. Ohio State still in the lead early in the third quarter. And man, Oregon very lucky that they upheld that touchdown call.
Yeah, both teams have, you know, Oregon's really actually shot themselves in the foot all game with a lot of drop passes. They've gotten a little bit better as far as executing in their offense. And as we've been talking about, the last thing you want to do is to make a mental mistake that almost cost the Ducks a touchdown. Now, Sean, this past weekend was on the NFL stage some big games that came across. And I know one that you had interest in, and that was your beloved Seattle Seahawks at the Clink. And man, they didn't disappoint you as they took care of business against the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, that was a foregone conclusion the second the game was announced. I mean, Vegas,
oh my goodness,
Vegas knew it from the jump. 10.5 points. As soon as the matches were announced and who was going to be in Seattle, they're like, wait, what? Who? Carolina? 10.5. Put it on the board. Seattle's ahead 10.5-0 already. And Vegas, of course, you know, Seattle covered that and then some. So, you know, the only people disappointed were Panther fans or, I don't know, people that despise the Seahawks. I don't know who would do that. Maybe 49er fans, but it's been crazy being in the Carolinas the last few days, both north and south, and being able to talk about how the Seahawks are going to beat the Panthers. And obviously, it didn't go over well in the Carolinas, but deep down, you know, the Panther fans knew that they weren't Super Bowl material, and they were just happy to be there with a 7-8 record and 7-8-1. And, you know, going around on the Globetrotter tour, it's been awesome to see kids in Russell Wilson and Richard Sherman jerseys. So that's definitely been great to see that there are 12s everywhere.
Now, you know, I have to give it to you because, you know, let's face it, Seattle is looking to defend their Super Bowl championship prowess. But at the same time, let's face it here, Sean, we're talking about in the third quarter, 14-10, going into the fourth quarter, 14-10. You mean to tell me that there wasn't a little bit inside of you that was saying, oh my God, you know, this can't be happening, even at the Clink, that the Carolina Panthers are playing tough football? And it wasn't until the fourth quarter that the floodgates opened up. Are you telling me that you knew from the beginning that this was going to go down? You not once were you even you know, nervous or scared that the outcome would change?
Never, never. Because knowing how these teams have played in the past three matchups, all in Carolina, both teams have good defenses, if not great. And you knew it was going to be low scoring for a while. And Seattle is a second half team. Very rarely do they get out 14, 21, 28 points in the first half. Typically, it's third quarter, fourth quarter when they find their rhythm and wear those teams down and then go for the jugular. And, you know, especially in Seattle, with the added advantage of the home crowd and Cam Newton never playing in Seattle, and you look at the turnover differential, Seattle at plus three after one game of the playoffs with the Panthers turning the ball over three times, and it easily could have been five. There were two other interceptions that were pretty much dropped by Seattle's secondary, and Russell Wilson is very, very close to the number one quarterback in the entire NFL because he does not make mistakes. He rarely turns the ball over. He makes the proper decision. He's got a 41-13 record in the NFL, Sean. Now, I know everybody wants to jump on Aaron Rodgers and he's the greatest and no, it's Tom Brady. Well, obviously it's not Peyton Manning anymore. He's on a, you know, heading down the hill a little bit, especially losing at home to Andrew Luck. I mean, there's another guy that people say, oh, he's one of the best. Yeah, he's pretty darn good. But let's go into what matters. Third down conversions, turnovers, and the best record ever to start a career, 41-13. Not Marino, not Elway, not you name a quarterback. Nobody's ever done that.
Yeah, you know, I will give you this. I will give you that Russell Wilson knows how to play within the system and the scheme of the Seattle Seahawks. I'm not ready to put him in a category to where he's up there or better than an Aaron Rodgers or even a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady. Let's hold the horses a little bit. I think that if we put Russell Wilson in another scheme that isn't the Seattle Seahawks, because I'm all on board right now with the Seattle Seahawks and what they're doing on offense as a whole, as a team, as far as the system is concerned. Now, as far as the athleticism, yeah, Russell Wilson is a great athletic quarterback, but let's hold on as far as putting him up there with some of the greats, because he's in the perfect system for him right now. And I think that he needs to stay in that system. But, yeah, again, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers. We're talking about Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. And, yes, Peyton Manning lost this past weekend. And you know, it's a travesty, so much of a travesty, Sean Wally, that John Elway in the front office just did away with the whole coaching staff, starting with John Fox and releasing him today.
Yeah, that's a bit crazy. So they obviously didn't get the results they wanted in Denver the last couple of years, got to the Super Bowl last year. But as we know, Seattle won that game. And, man, you have a first-round bye this year, 2 weeks to prepare, and you only score, what, 13 points at home?
Yeah, 13. And, yeah, 13 yeah, points.
They,
yeah, 13
they
points.
That quick in Denver.
Yeah, 13 points against, you know, Peyton Manning's, you know, predecessor here in Andrew Luck, and which led to Jim Irsay getting out and the owner of the Indianapolis Colts talking almost braggadocious as if to say, this is the reason why we got rid of Peyton Manning. And it was the, you know, here we go with this whole mutual agreement talk with these owners. I don't know what in the world is going on there. But Irsay's kind of beating his chest a little bit and saying, this is why we didn't keep Peyton Manning, which I think is probably one of the most disrespectful things that you could say, especially to someone of Peyton Manning's caliber and the things that he has done. But yes, it is what it is. And, you know, the Indianapolis Colts move on. And they have a daunting task coming up in the AFC AFC Conference Championships with the New England Patriots. And so that should be a great, great matchup coming up this weekend.
So we're down to the final day of playoffs before the Super Bowl on Sunday. The championships in the AFC, the NFC, as you mentioned, the AFC will be the Colts at the Patriots. The NFC is the Packers at the Seahawks. Sean Boyd, your Super Bowl prediction is?
Oh, man. Here's the thing. So you did this to me a couple of weeks ago, and you asked me to predict who I thought was going to win the Super Bowl, and I told you it was too early, but I went out on a limb. You got me. You got me to make this prediction, and here I am sitting there this past weekend, and I'm like, wow, the two teams that I picked are now gone in Dallas and Denver. And, you know, Dallas Cowboy fans, say what you want, you know, as far as the catch. And let's talk about that for a second, Sean Wally. So Dez Bryant goes up for the catch about 4 minutes left in the football game against Green Bay. To what it looked like to me that he did come down with the football, and then all of a sudden the letter of the law comes up as far as what is deemed a catch. And, you know, after the letter of the law was read, Sean Wally, the Megatron rule is what they call it. You know, it wasn't a catch. Can you believe that? I mean, do you believe that the letter of the law can actually sway you to believe that that wasn't a catch? What do you think?
Well, I'm on the fence there because it looked like to me he took three steps. So how was that third step? I mean, if 2 feet down is a catch, you add the third, but then I've heard also that falling to the ground is not considered a quote football move, end quote. So that's how it's not a catch, because falling to the ground doesn't equate a football move. Yet I don't see how those three steps don't make it a catch, and then either a fumble or did it cross the goal line. But
yeah, you know, I think the football gods just said, you know what? I mean, enough is enough. And that rabbit's foot that I deemed for the Dallas Cowboys just went to a complete halt. But now if I'm you, Sean, and I'm the Seattle faithful, the 12s, as I'm watching this game, I'm thinking that, man, you know, who would I rather play? Would I rather play the Green Bay Packers, or would I rather play the Dallas Cowboys? And I'm thinking, this is just on the outside looking in, Sean Wally, that this is a blessing in disguise for Seattle for two reasons. One, Dallas Cowboys, the one of the only teams to go up to Seattle and beat them at the clink, if not the only team this year to do that. And for the and Dallas has such a strong offensive front that they were the only ones that could match up well with Seattle's defensive front. And also the fact that the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, is hobbling and is probably one and a half the person that he's not. Actually, he's probably his two legs aren't working or aren't properly functioning. So I'd probably say he has one and a half legs, and that bodes well for the Legion of Boom. So if I were the 12s, I would say, man, out of the two teams, yeah, you bet I want the Packers to win, because a hobbling Aaron Rodgers is not as good as a full-fledged team coming at me in the Dallas Cowboys. What say you, Sean Wally?
Yeah, you're definitely right there that Green Bay appears to be the easier of the two opponents for the Seahawks. That being said, there's no fear in the Cowboys coming in here. Yes, they did get the victory earlier in the season. That was a much different Seattle team. They were quite injured at the time. There were some guys that were not out there on the field as starters that normally are, like a Bobby Wagner. Cam Chancellor was playing, but he shouldn't have been. He was maybe 60% and not his normal self. And if you saw any of that game on Saturday night, Cam Chancellor played potentially And if you don't want to believe me, it's been said on NFL Network, ESPN, the former players that are analysts have said that may have been the best game I've ever seen a strong safety play. Cam Chancellor was all over the place.
No doubt about it, Sean. I mean, some of the things that Cam Chancellor did, I mean, we were talking so much about Cam Newton, but Cam Chancellor was Cam with a K, was the one that actually took over as far as the best player on that football field. There were two times where he jumped over the offensive line for the special teams to block a field goal, and he caused a disturbance on both occasions. And to get a 90-yard touchdown run back late in the game, I mean, and this guy, he's a freak of nature. I mean, he has muscles sticking out all over the place. He has muscles in his veins, and he just looks like this big, intimidating species out there, and he is just awesome. He played lights out awesome, probably better than I've ever seen any defensive football player play, and that is scary, Sean, when you're talking about as a defensive whole, the Legion of Boom. But then when you have one person that actually sticks out that much over the rest of the defense, oh my goodness. Yeah, Green Bay should be very afraid going in to the Clink this weekend, where they have had, man, no success over the past few years and going up to CenturyLink.
And if you look at the rushing yards that the Packers had against Dallas, whose defense is nowhere near as good as Seattle's, the Packers had less than 50 yards rushing against Dallas in Green Bay. Now right. You're coming across the country to face the best defense in 2014, one of the best defenses ever, and you're going to have success? It's not going to happen. Yes, Aaron Rodgers is amazing. Yes, they have good receivers. Yes, Eddie Lacy is a good running back. But Rodgers, as we've mentioned, is hobbling. He's got a torn calf. Unless they're only giving him three-step drops and they're doing slants all day, slants and screens, he's going to get crushed because the speed of Seattle's defense, he's not going to be able to be mobile enough to get away from any of that. And right. It's just...
For me as a football fan, especially the NFC Championship game, I want to see like the best of the best, you know, like a game last year to where the two best teams, not just in the NFC, but in the NFL played when the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks played up at CenturyLink. But, you know, this is almost like melodramatic going in and with Aaron Rodgers going up at, you know, half speed and, or, you know, not 100%, let's just put it that way. And you have a team on all cylinders in the Seattle Seahawks that are at home, that are chomping at the bit. You know, it's melodramatic. And it's sad because I want to see a dynamic football game, and I'm not sure that we're going to see that this weekend.
Well, in week one, I believe it was 36-16 Seattle over Green Bay at CenturyLink, and that was in, you know, pristine weather in September for the NFL kickoff, and both teams pretty much at full strength, and Seattle won by 20. So we'll see what will happen on Sunday. And Sean, before we run here, as we're going a bit over here on the double, got a couple questions for you.
Yes.
Could you tell me Tom Brady, the quarterback of the Patriots, what is his number?
12.
Andrew Luck, quarterback of the Colts, what is his jersey number?
12.
And one Aaron Rodgers, his jersey number would be?
12.
The kickoff time for the NFC Championship game on Sunday in Seattle.
Is it at 12 o'clock? What are we getting at? What's going on?
It's meant to be. It's the 12th, the 12th man. Seattle.
Oh, my God.
It's all set up. Every quarterback left in the league starting.
Oh, my goodness.
In the championship games, where's 12? They had the Seahawks kicking off at noon. Are you kidding me? It's happening again.
Oh, Arizona, my God.
Seattle is heading to University of Phoenix Stadium to win a second championship.
I've heard enough. I've heard enough.
I haven't drunk any water in Kansas City yet.
Oh, jeez. I'm looking forward to the game this weekend. Both AFC and NFC championship games, New England Patriots and the Indianapolis Colts. I'm going to go with Tom Brady on this one. And who knows, maybe Andrew Luck just shows that he is that up and coming and shows some tremendous, but I'm going with New England. And as far as Seattle and Green Bay, let's face it, as much as I'd love to see a great football game, I'm just not seeing a healthy Aaron Rodgers, even though some would say that doesn't matter. I'm going with Seattle on this one. It looks like in the Super Bowl we're looking at, for me, my picks, New England and Seattle, which would be great for ratings because you're looking at a team that's going to be repeating, and then you're looking at Tom Brady, who's actually still at the pinnacle of his game and might be on the decline after this year. So that would be an exciting Super Bowl.
Absolutely. It would be the first time those teams have met since the You Mad Bro incident.
Yeah, so that the You Mad Bro incident, of course, what you're talking about is Richard Sherman getting in the face of Tom Brady and kind of giving it to him up at CenturyLink, and that would be great to see both of those teams playing on a neutral site. Show coming to an end, Sean Wally. What number are we on right now?
Oh, man, I just updated the website a couple hours ago, too.
88. Are we on 88?
87, I believe, because I know that after I counted, you were wishful thinking. You were a week ahead when you were
87.
Adding it up. So I believe this is 87.
87. Well, man, it's we had two awesome guests on today. We had guest number one, Reggie Moore, former Washington State Cougar and NBDL player. And doing some great things, getting his little business off the ground. And wishing him strong success. And, of course, guest number two, Omar Turner of Crossover Basketball, getting a chance to talk about some of the great things that he's doing in the Sacramento community and helping the youth of today and in a strong ministry way and molding these kids. And a great, great show today, Sean Wally. Of course, Oregon Ducks. Down by one, Seattle Seahawks looking forward to an NFC championship. And, hey, I'd be remiss if I don't get a chance to talk about my favorite team. Of course, the odds are out from Vegas for next year and my beloved Oakland Raiders at 300-1 odds of winning or getting to the playoffs. So if you want to make a little bit of money, put some down, Raider fans. And you might get a nice chunk of change at the end of the season if our team can get into the playoffs. Show number 87 in the books, Sean Wally. Hey,
Sean, that's got to be worth $10, right?
Oh, man. I'm reaching in for a little bit more than 10. Let's put it that way, Sean Wally, because I believe that we've got a better chance than what the prognosticators are giving us. I've got to believe that, Sean. It's got to get better, man.
Well, we can say one thing, Rex Ryan will not be your coach because he's going to be in Buffalo. It's an interesting hire, just staying in the AFC East and moving north.
And we'll talk a little bit about that in the next week or so as we can get some information from some of our buddies who have been on the double before. But show number 87 in the books for Sean Wally. I'm Sean Boyd and Don Newsom, the engineer. It's been a great show. You've been listening to On the Double. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.